Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 77 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I talked to Joel Zavala Jr. from Zavala's Barbecue in Grand Prairie, Texas, which is west of Dallas. He and his partner, Drew Wright, are doing some amazing barbecue. We discuss how we got into it. In the interview, we jump right into it. I'm wearing, in the YouTube version, when you get this, when the YouTube version is finished, you'll see that I'm wearing a Bodacious Barbecue hat. And so he starts talking about that, and he's wearing a 44 Farms hat, and so we start talking about that. Then we branch. These interviews get very tangential. We talk about 44 Farms and how he was able to start selling items from 44 Farms, and then we jump right into his history and about his barbecue and scratch made tortillas. We just talk about all these great things. You're going to be very interested in the method as to how you order right now. It's mostly from ordering direct from them ahead of time, and then if you can, wait in line, but they sell out really quickly, and the best method is to order directly from them. But we talk about their brick and mortar coming up. It's wonderful. He's a great guy, really interesting. Lots of great stories. I know you're going to love this. If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you can get all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But enjoy this.
Love your hat.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. You know, this is actually one of my favorites. I'm scared. Like, I almost want to tell. I want to order one more from Jordan because I know I'm going to mess it up. But I hope he continues making those.
Oh, he should. I love Jordan. He's like my big brother.
God, is he like one of the nicest people around? Like, it's hard. It's really, yeah.
It's genuine. He's 100% the nicest. Probably one of the nicest guys I know. Him and Reed, both of them are like my big brothers.
And I think I've seen you in a guest shirt before, haven't I?
Oh yeah, I try to represent people that I absolutely love as much as possible. I feel really awkward wearing my stuff. I really hate wearing my stuff now. I like representing people that I really love and admire and care about.
And that's what's cool too is if now with the 44 Farms hats, people are gonna probably want to reach out to them at least to try to order a hat or figure it out, and it kind of gets into their mindset. Like, I keep seeing 44 Farms around. Like, what it just it's just like, I guess, the old days when people used to like have Crisco on something or.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, 44 is amazing. Like, they've been really great. It was kind of a funny situation how I got involved with them. Probably about 2 years ago, I started seeing people utilize their meat, and first time I met Jordan. We went to go visit him at Bodacious in Marbley, and we walk in and he has a 44 hat. And, like, I'm talking to him, I'm like, oh my God, this is like Jordan Jackson. Like, this is so awesome. And I'm like, man, how do you get 44 Farms? He's like, yeah, I'm number four in the state. And ever since, stuck in my head, it was like the funniest thing ever. But he was serious. And I was just like, man, I'm never going to be able to get 44 Farms at all. And so I sent them an email and never got anything back. And I was like, man, I was like, this sucks. And then all of a sudden, one of my best friends, he does all our social media, CJ, he's always on my ass, like, pushing me. And he's like, dude, you're going to call them, and you're going to try to get in touch with somebody. I'm like, all right. So I call, and I literally leave a voicemail on this, like, answering machine that seems like it's from, like, the 1980s or 90s. And I'm like, wow. And it's really nice older lady on the voicemail said, please leave your name and number. So I did. And then about 2 hours, 3 hours later, I get a phone call from this from one of the reps, Jose. He's awesome. And he's like talking to me. And I feel bad because I'm like yelling at him on the phone. I said, CJ told you to call me. You're playing a joke on me. And Jose's like, no, this is 44 Farms. I'm like, no, it's not. I said, who is this? He's like, this is Jose with 44 Farms. After about 5 minutes going back and forth, I realized, holy cow, that actually is 44 Farms. That was about a year and a half ago. And, I started off with beef belly. So we were doing beef belly burn-ins, and we were doing some beef belly sausage. We're just, their brisket's, like, it's really hard to get. Like, there's only a select few that can get them.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I've heard.
Reed down at Guest, Bodacious, like, they're the ones that get it. They're the golden childs and poster childs of 44 Farms, and rightfully so. Their barbecue's amazing.
Yeah.
They're representative, very, high quality. And because of that, like, I want to be able to utilize what I could get, and that was beef belly. Then also the beef ribs. The beef ribs are a little smaller, but I like them because it's just really difficult when you go to a barbecue place and get like a pound and a half, 2 pound beef ribs. Like, so massive. Like, these are like perfect, the 3/4 to a pound. And I just felt like the marbling is just so much more rich and just amazing on there. And then I found out they had beef cheek. And I was like, oh my God, it's barbacoa. It's like, that's what we grew up with every Sunday. Preparing for hungover, and, you know, we're like, all right, after church, if we went to church that weekend, go to, you know, tortilla factory, get some tortillas and get some barbacoa, and that's what we ate for breakfast. Sunday.
That's so cool. Can I? Is it okay if I use that little part? Like, use this? What we've been talking? Is this?
Oh yeah. Whatever. I'm sorry. I was just.
No, I think that's really cool. No, it's a lot of. It's interesting for people to know more because I get a glimpse into 44 Farms and just how things work and.
Yeah. No. That's good. Yeah. It's a. You know, I just had to start off using any cut of meat, and you know, they're absolutely amazing. You know, down in Cameron, Texas, they're. I'm really fortunate when I do have the opportunity to get the briskets. I try to get as many as I can because, you know, all natural black Angus, no hormones here in Texas, just the absolute best. We're really fortunate to be able to use them, and we want to be able to make sure we represent them at the highest quality at all times.
That's awesome.
They are the absolute nicest people in the world, and hopefully you can try to set up a tour of their ranch. Yes. It's the most beautiful thing. You think you're at a movie set. Like, the grass is like perfect, the cows look so happy. It's just a wonderful place.
And I'll put that on my list too. I would love to. That's a kind of like the weird barbecue nerdy, well, just like in general, I love to do that kind of stuff. So let's go back to what did you start out, did you grow up in Texas?
I'm born and raised in Texas. Born and raised in Grand Prairie, actually. I was actually, legitimately say I was born at the hospital that we had here. It's no longer here anymore. Went to middle school, high school, elementary school, you know, through and throughout Texan. I call myself a Texican. You know, my family's from Crystal City.
Okay.
It's about an hour and a half from San Antonio down in Zavala County.
Oh, yeah.
That's actually, you know, everybody's like, is that county named after you? It's like, probably not. But
maybe. You know, somewhere.
Yeah, all our family's there. So, actually, you know, Lorenzo de Zavala, he was the first vice president of the Republic of Texas. Don't think we're related because I don't have dad in front, but it's pretty cool. You know?
That's really cool. So then did you grow up, like you said, like on the weekends? Were you guys cooking barbecue on the weekends?
Man, like, you know, being part of a Tejano Chicano family, like every wedding, every event, every quinceañera was brisket, rice, beans, potato salad, and tortillas. Like every single thing, you know, family reunions. And growing up, whenever we did have events, my dad was usually the guy that got pulled into having to cook. And I admire my dad because, you know, it was kind of funny, like, how he sees me cook and how I saw him cooking. Like, no temperature gauges, no time, no, I don't know when it's done. He just feels it and he's like, it's good, or it needs a couple more time. And, you know, just always wanted to be part of that. Like, I just so was in love with seeing him cook, and like, I couldn't do anything. All I could do was go get wood. So I would go get wood for him.
Did he have a little offset? Is that what he had? Or?
Yeah, it was, you know, first he had this offset smoker, and then he had this thing called a robot. It was more of a like direct pit made out of a propane tank that was standing straight up. And he was like famous for his ribs and chicken. Like, everybody loved that. And just had, you know, whatever makeshift, offset or smokers, or cookers, whatever you can get. That's what he was using.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and it was just really great. And you know, I always wanted to cook, and I just absolutely love watching him. And then like all the family, like just how happy they were when they were eating. It's like, that was something that I've always just loved. I always feel like food, especially barbecue, brings family, friends,
without
everybody.
A doubt.
And
so did you go to culinary school, or did you go, or did you just went on a different path, right?
No, I had no culinary school for me. Like, I'm not a chef. I wish I can. I admire like Jordan and Scott and, you know, Reed, like the chef backgrounds. They make amazing food. They're creative. I only admire that. I wish I could come up with some great stuff. I'm more of a, you know, do a couple of things and do it right. That's pretty much what I do. And I'm still learning with barbecue. Like, I got a long way to go.
And what got into your head though to start this up? And you started out doing pop-ups, right? Isn't that kind of?
Yeah. So actually, while I was going through grad school, you know, they always said, you know, what's your dream? I said, my dream is after I get down to corporate America, is sell dollar tacos and make $30,000 a year. Like, I just, you know, there was just something that I was always fond about tacos and feeding people and making people happy and just being relaxed. And, you know, while I was going to school, I incurred, you know, student loans. You know, I graduated in 2008, probably the worst time to graduate.
Yeah, it's tough.
I probably put out 200 applications my first See, I graduated May that whole summer. Didn't get a single call back. It's like, oh, I guess I'll go to grad school. So I went to grad school. I did that, then got into sales. Then I got into consulting. I'm a consultant now. Mm-hmm. And I've always just been really fascinated by cooking food. And I was like, man, I really need to pay off these student loans. And I was like, man, maybe I should really look into doing this barbecue thing. And so my father-in-law, he barbecued quite a bit too. Also, he's from Grand Prairie. They actually live across the street from my parents. And he had this old offset smoker. It was an old Oklahoma Joe that was completely rusted through in the very back. And I was like, hey, can I have it? And he was like, yeah, let me get it fixed. Well, a couple months passed by and he just got really busy. Couldn't get it fixed. So I just went and stole it. I took it to one of my good friends, Travis, who put a new firebox. He actually used his dad's old toolbox that he created in the early 1980s.
Oh, that's so cool.
Put it into the Oklahoma Joe. So I had this brand new firebox. And so about 3 years ago for 4th of July, we had a party. And I'm like, I'm going to make a brisket. So, you know, I learned some stuff from my dad, from my father-in-law, you know, looked at the internet. And I'm like, all right, I got this. Made this brisket and pork butt. And, you know, everybody ate it. Everybody's like, oh, my God, this is, like, the most incredible thing. And then my buddy CJ, who does our social media, he's like, dude, this tastes like crap. Like, I don't know. These people are lying to you. And from then on, you know, I always tell people, it's like, people love free barbecue. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to say it's good.
People love meat, and so it's still do anything, even dry, whatever they.
Oh, for sure. And it's so funny when I look back at those pictures, it's like, wow, look at how much, look at that, the smoke ring that I have in there. It's like so terrible. Like, I can only imagine how much dirty smoke that brisket had in it. Oh. I was like, oh. And then so every weekend from then, I just kept on cooking. I was doing briskets. I was doing beef ribs. I was doing pork butts. I was doing sausage, like anything I could do, invite people over just to eat it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just kept on trying to get better. My wife thought I was crazy. I thought I was crazy, too. And then
you got to be a little crazy to make it work.
Yeah. And then around October time, it was my buddy's birthday, and I made a brisket. And that was the first time that I thought, and my buddy CJ was like, you know what? This is actually good. I was like, oh, okay. Maybe I can do this. So I asked my wife, I said, you know, maybe you should try to pay off these student loans. And I said, you know, let's just do pre-orders only. And, you know, we're not going to be in it. You know, we're not going to be losing out on anything. It's not like we're going to be posted up somewhere. We're just going to take pre-orders, and people order. We make it. If people don't, we don't.
Yeah, you plan on it. So,
yeah. So my wife's like, all right, you know. So me and my wife, she was back hesitantly, but she was like, yeah, let's do it. She made all the sides, a potato salad and a hot sauce and everything to begin with. It's her dad's recipe on the red sauce.
Oh, wow.
And so that was around November. We said yes. So we got a designer, made our logo from a sketch that my wife did. And then I got all the social media hashtags. I got a website. I was like, if we're going to do this, we got to make it official. We got to look as legit as possible. Can't look like we're just halfway doing it. And then January 1 of 2016, we posted, hey, we're open for business. And so we were really excited. I was telling my buddy CJ's like, oh, you know, I've been telling people about it. Everybody's like said they're going to order. And I'm like, I told him, like, I'm going to be packed for sold out for like a month straight already. He's like, you're not going to be sold out. Trust me. I'm like, yes, I will. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. And sure enough, that first weekend, you know, on social media, I think I had like, looking back at it, like I had Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and all of them I had maybe like 50 or 60 followers. I'm gonna be able to do this. And I remember, you know, I'm posting it, waiting for somebody to place an order in that first week, you know.
Oh.
Didn't get a single order. I was like, damn.
Oh.
Jay was like, man, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. I just wanted to set you up, like, so you'll know. Like, I was like, I know. And he's always been that guy that's like pushed me. And
So how do you climb out of that? Because that's got to be a little depressing, right?
Oh yeah, it was a very defeating moment. So the first thing I did was did a social media post on a Saturday morning and said, thank you everybody for the orders, taking orders for the following week. And then I just used some pictures I had from previous cooks that I haven't used and said, you know, this was a cook. It was just like, oh, man. So going into that second week, I was like, crap. Like, let's see if I'm going to get some orders. So I got two orders that first week. And then the following week, I got like three. And the following, it was, like four. And at the first 2 months, it was just friends and family. And I was like, all right, let's see if I can start getting outside of people. And then probably about month number three, around March, we started getting orders from friends of friends, the people that didn't know us, but they saw that one of our friends tagged or they heard about us, and they started placing orders. And after every pre-order I get, I make sure I follow up on Saturday afternoon to say, you know, I just want to make sure everything's good.
That's smart.
Because at the end of the day, I was only making two briskets. All I could fit in Oklahoma Joe is two briskets and one pork butt. So I was literally selling like 8 to 10 pounds of brisket and 4 pounds of pork butt. Like, that's all. Yeah. And my wife is like, I think we did that for a year and a half. And I it's so funny. Everybody's like, oh man, you're killing it. I'm like, man, I'm killing all this debt that I'm accruing. Like, I think if I really look at how much I was making hourly, it was probably like negative like $20 an hour. And then I had, you know, my wife in there on Friday nights making the potato salad.
Yeah, it's a lot of work for a small operation.
Yeah, she wanted to kill me, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I promise I have a plan. And that's one thing I definitely did. I'm kind of going backwards, but back in November when I said I'm going to do it, I did about 2 or 3 weeks where I just worked on a business plan. I looked at who are all my competitors. I looked at, you know, what are some of the market indicators? You know, where are places where I should really look at? Who's my target market? You know, who should I go after? You know, what kind of quality of meat do I want to go utilize? And then, you know, long-term growth, like what is it that I want to accomplish and what am I going to stay true to? And like, one of the main things I was, like, I want to make sure I use offset smoker at all times. And this has to be all organic. It's going to be family owned. We don't want to, you know, we just want to grow it mm-hmm. the way we want to grow it. We put a lot of time and effort in it, and our name's on it, and want to make sure that we hold that to the highest quality.
That's great advice, the business model. A lot of people, and even myself, have been, I haven't done that. That's smart to create a business plan of some sort.
Well, you know, all that student loan I was like, I better utilize some of the education I got to do something. I've updated because we've had a lot of ups and downs, and I'll go through that.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, having to update it, and you know. But I still, my mission statement is the exact same as it was from day one to what it is right now. And that's just to provide, you know, high quality food and put a smile on people's face.
Oh, and
we want to make sure that we do that at all times and make sure people feel like they're part of the family. Cause that's one thing that we strive. Like our barbecue, people say it's good and I really appreciate that. But the one thing I'm proud of is they say our customer service and the way we treat everybody is awesome, and I want to make sure that it's always going to be like that.
Yeah, without that, like, you could be put in, it's really a difficult road if your customer service isn't strong.
Oh yeah, and my wife is like, we call her, she kind of puts a hammer down on us sometimes. She's like, y'all need to do it this way. I'm like, you're right, because she kind of has the outside view of everything. So I'm like, all right.
That's good. It's good to have. It's important.
Yeah, and so we did that for a year and a half where we were just doing pre-orders only. So I was getting those orders through my website or through social media, and we were just doing that. And then so we're like, oh, man, we need to get a bigger smoker. So we got a bigger smoker. My buddy Travis built our first one. Her name is Henrietta. It was a 500-gallon propane tank.
Cool.
And she was amazing. And my buddy CJ, again, you're going to keep on hearing him.
He comes up a lot.
He signed us up for a pop-up. For this Grand Prairie Hatch Chili Fest. And I'm like, I'm not doing that, dude. I don't want to do it. He's like, no, you're doing it. Well, I had to borrow somebody else's smoker because I kind of underestimated how much orders we were going to have. And I was like, holy cow. So they were like, man, we got to build another smoker. So at that time, after we did that pop-up, we found a 1,000-gallon propane tank. I got a really great deal on it. And we had this guy out of Fort Worth who built it. And while that was going on, we were doing some caterings, and just building our name. And, while that was going on, our first pop-up was last August, the Hatch Green Chili Fest.
Of 2017, 2017, is it?
Yep. So we started in 2016. So for a year and a half, we were just doing two briskets and a pork butt. when I hear that, I'm just like, man, like.
That's funny. Like I could name this like two briskets and a pork butt. That's it. That was your. That's
a good name.
From two. Yeah. Well, I can say like from two briskets and a pork butt to what you're. That's yeah.
Yeah. But you know, it was one of those things. Like we had to make sure that people actually wanted our food, and you know, I didn't want, you know, the smokers are expensive. Like I didn't want to.
You can't just jump all in. Yeah.
And then realize, oh, people don't really like our barbecue.
Yeah.
So we did that for a year and a half, and then we did the pop-up, and it was, I'm not going to lie, it was a great feeling. We sold out like an hour and a half. I think we did we did about 15 briskets. We're like, holy cow, like 15 briskets. Like, so that was really cool. We did sausage. We did beef cheek for the first time there.
Nice.
And people were like, beef cheek? We're like, it's barbacoa. They're like, oh, okay. And people bought that, and they liked it a lot. And they're like, you got to keep this. So we're like, okay, we're definitely going to keep that. And that, you know, we kind of introduced 44 Farms to, you know, City of Grand Prairie at that event with the beef cheek and the beef. We did beef belly sausage also.
Oh, nice. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Drew, my business partner who you met earlier, he does all our sausage. And so we're just, I let him handle that. He gets creative and does different things. And
yeah, no, I've heard really good things about it. That's great.
And once we get our place open up, he's really excited because we get to do whatever we want. Like, we actually have a kitchen. So.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to hear about that too. Excellent. Excellent.
Yep. So we did the pop up, and then we did the pop up in August 2017. We ordered the smoker in November. So we were just doing catering events. So we're doing probably about 100 people to 200 people. We're doing like holiday parties. We're able to do that kind of stuff. Then we secured some weddings for February of 2018. Okay. So I kind of had the pressure on our pit builder, said, hey, I need to get the smoker done by January. And so he was got pushed out a couple times, but we finally got it in the middle of January. And while that was going on, we got invited to a other pop-up in City of Grand Prairie. It was a holiday pop-up. It was the end of December, beginning of January. Okay. And again, we did about 15 briskets, and we actually did beef cheek tamales there. Yeah, they're actually really, really good.
Yeah, that sounds so good.
Yeah, my buddy Joey, his mom, she makes tamales, and we're like, hey, if I make the meat, can you stuff them? She's like, yeah. But that's like a lot of labor.
So much labor. Yeah, people don't realize how labor intensive it is.
It is. And, you know, I felt really bad for how much we were charging, but so we make sure we packed them up with a whole bunch of meat so people felt really good.
Yeah.
We sold those like in 5 minutes. I think we had about 20 to 30 dozen. It was crazy. I was like, all right, I guess people like this. So we'll probably have to do that again this holiday season.
For sure.
So we were like, I'm like, all right, maybe we should look for a place that we can actually be open every Saturday. And we found this place that was literally maybe 1 minute from where we did the pop-up. And the price was great. We're like, it was a lease. We're like, oh, hell yeah. We're like, this is perfect. Like, we could do this. So we went through the whole process. We brought the city out because we want to make sure that before we got into this lease, they were going to be okay with the smoker. What do we need? Grease traps and all that stuff.
That's smart.
And we go through the process, and, like, we're about to sign the lease. They weren't going to pay for any money to put grease trap in, so we knew we were going to have to front that money, and we're going to lose it because it's a lease. But, it, you know, it is what we have to do to be able to get started.
Yeah, yeah.
And we get an email that Monday or Tuesday following our last meeting with the city, and they're like, hey, Joe, somebody just pulled a CO on the property, so you better call the person you've been working with. Somebody else got in there and got the CO, so we couldn't get the place. So,
oh,
crap.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So that's like a setback, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I guess I kind of missed. And then during this part, one of my wife's good friends, they're going to have this, the city's investing into this old fire station, which is the original one on Old Main, downtown Main Street. That's going to be kind of a food truck entertainment center. And they wanted us to sell our barbecue out of there. We're like, yeah, we will do that. Like, it sounded like a great idea. But there's been a couple of, hurdles that they've had to go through. So the timetable just didn't match up with us. So we kind of went away from that idea too.
Gotcha.
So we're like, all right. So then we started working with the city. It's like, hey, how can we like figure out like a pop-up? Well, they have a farmer's market. So the farmer's market was closed from January to March. So we're like, oh, well, we can utilize that. And we kind of got all the stuff worked out. But then we started thinking about it. It's like, all right, if we build this thing that's really great, where are we going to move after the farmer's market? Like, because somebody else took that over. So we're like, all right, that doesn't make any sense. Well, so it happens that during that holiday pop-up, now my business partner, Drew, he's been part of the journey, you know, for the past year and a half, helping me with caterings. He met the owner of the Brass Bean. That's a coffee shop that was across the street. So after this, we found out the CO wasn't going to go through, and we didn't think the farmer's market was going to work. I was like, hey, let's reach out to him to see if we can utilize his kitchen and utilize his place to sell barbecue. And we reached out to him and we set up a meeting. We're like, hey, you know, we'll pay you. We want to use your place. It's only Saturdays. And he's like, yeah, works well. We're like, holy cow. Like, we thought we were going to have to like sell you. He's like, no, man, like whatever we could do to help Grand Prairie, like downtown. And I'm like, all right, this nice. Is all good. So we did that. Our first week was March 1st. Before that, we had our first huge catering. It was a wedding catering that this guy, Jordan, let us do. It was our first wedding catering. I can't believe he trusted us to do it. We were nervous.
Yeah, I'd be nervous too.
Gilly's Dallas. Everything went really well, so that was good. And so we started March 1st. I had no idea what we were doing. You know, we're like, are people going to show up? We're terrified.
And how many days a week was that going to be?
Just Saturdays only.
Just Saturdays only. And taking pre-orders, right?
Yeah, pre-orders. Yeah, that's one thing. Well, we always are going to do is make sure we do pre-orders because people became used to it and they actually like that they can come pick up their food between 10:30 and 10:50.
Oh, cool.
So it's like really easy. Like put a pre-order in, you're guaranteed food, you pick it up, and you get to get out of there.
Very cool.
So we had some good pre-orders and we had a couple of people. I think we only made about six briskets, I think, that mm-hmm. first one because we were nervous. Took us about 2 hours. 2.5 hours, then we were able to sell out everything, and we're like, all right, maybe we got something. And then the second week, you know, we made 6 briskets. It took us like 3 hours. We're like, oh, okay. And then the third week, we had a guy named Daniel from Daniel Eating Dallas. He writes with D Magazine. Mm-hmm. Came out, ate our food, and did a quick little kind of blog on us, and that really helped us out. You know, people started coming out. They're like, oh my God, there's a place in Grand Prairie. So it was good and bad. It was good because people started coming. Bad that, you know, now there's a light on us in the sense of, you know, we were just drinking cold beer, making barbecue, just having a good time. And, you know, people now have high expectations when they're coming. So,
for sure.
You know, we're already trying to do the best quality food at all times that we can do. You know, that's one thing that me and Drew, like if we see something that's not up to our quality, we scrap it. Like we're not gonna serve it to our people because it's not fair to them, especially if they're coming out. It was like really crazy. I think the fourth week we had somebody drive like 3 hours away to come eat our barbecue. We're like,
man.
What? Like, are you crazy? But yeah,
that's barbecue for you. That's a barbecue world.
Yeah. It was a very humbling moment. And that's like, that was kind of a moment where I was like, okay, like you have to do the highest quality and you have to try to make as much barbecue as you can because you don't want these people coming and you feel terrible because like I never understood when I heard other guys talk. I was like, you know, you feel like you don't want to sell out. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, you do want to sell out. But after you start hearing these stories about people coming and seeing people wait, like you feel terrible mm-hmm. that you don't have barbecue there for them. So, you know, after that, we started making more and more barbecue. More people started coming. And another crazy event that happened to us, we had a cold front that come through the middle of April. And we're like, I think we made like 12 briskets that day. And I looked at Drew and said, I think we screwed up, man. I said, there's no way anybody's going to come. And I swear to you, we sold out in 1 hour. It was wow. The weirdest thing ever. People were freezing. I was freezing. Like we're having to cut the meat inside. And they have people go inside and come out. It was like,
that's a huge sign. That's important. That's huge.
Yeah. It was, I was just like, wow, people actually, they actually want our barbecue even when it's cold.
So you're getting pre-orders and getting people lined up. That was the,
yeah. So the good thing about it is, we can usually tell the kind of week that we're going to have by the pre-orders that we get. It's a good gauge. I don't know if it's just luck, but if I see that our pre-orders are pretty heavy, then I know to make more meat because we're going to have a pretty good show up. And when our pre-orders are pretty low, then I realize, okay, maybe I can tone it back a little bit. And it's actually worked so far. So we'll see. We'll see that. That'll keep on being the kind of a marker for us or metric.
And so what was it? And then so I'm assuming that I remember talking to Daniel Vaughn. He was saying that he had stopped by, right?
I didn't know you were going to. I was. So that was that day.
Should I have not brought it?
No, that's fine. I like.
We could edit it. It's okay.
No. It's good. Like we love Daniel Vaughn. He did come that day, and we.
You didn't have enough food, right? Wasn't there something like there wasn't enough food?
Yeah, we literally made 13 briskets that day. We had these massive people came through. They're ordering whole briskets, like it was the craziest thing ever. And you know, my CJ, you hear his name again, CJ goes back to the line and is like, hey guys, we only have brisket left and some sloppy wands left. And we didn't realize it, but Daniel Vaughn was there with his, I believe his son or his daughter, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he travels with his kids a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and he was there. We didn't realize it. So after we sold out, we're like sitting down inside the Brass Bean and we're drinking a beer and we're like, holy cow, that is crazy. People came. And CJ's like looking through our social media. It's like, hey, yeah, man, that guy I think looked like he wrote something that we're at a barbecue. And I was like, and then like literally 5 seconds later, he's like, holy shit, that was Daniel Vaughn. I was like, what? And he showed it to me. I was like, oh my God, that was Daniel Vaughn. He's like, oh, wow. So, you know, I was like, what do we do? What do we tell Daniel Vaughn? Like, do we message back and say, hey, no, we're sorry? Like, so we, you know, message him and say, you know, I apologize. We had some, you know, big orders that came through that we didn't think that we were going to order. And, but yeah, you know, he came by, I think that was, like the fifth week that we were open. So, you know, we're nervous and excited when the day that he does hopefully come back.
he'll be back. You never know. He might have even been back without you knowing somehow.
That's true. He might have been. So that was back in April. But yeah, that was a crazy day. Yeah. Especially when we saw that tweet that he was there. It was like, wow, that's so cool.
So fast. So let's fast forward to a little bit to closer to where we are now. So when did you start getting in line to get a brick and mortar or two? Because it's in Grand Prairie, right?
Yeah, it's in downtown Grand Prairie. We want to make sure that we do it here in the city. So Drew, who's my business partner, he's born and raised here in Grand Prairie. My wife is raised in Grand Prairie. CJ is raised in Grand Prairie. We all went to high school together. So we want to make sure that if we're going to do it anywhere, we want to do it where, you know, we're from. And we have a little downtown area from buildings from the early 1900s.
Oh, that's so cool.
Building that, that we purchased is, I think, from the 1942 used to be an old root beer car hop place.
That's cool.
And then we had an article written by our Texas Barbecue Posse, and we had a dramatic increase after that.
I think that's one of the ones I read too, yeah.
It was incredible. Like, we're really, you know, thank you for the kind words. And, you know, they came, it could have been a perfect storm. Like, they came on a Cinco de Mayo. There's our downtown, they do a huge Cinco de Mayo parade. So it was packed, colorful, you know. My dad, you know, handing out the free Lone Star Light and also the burn-ins. It was just like a perfect timing for everything. It was a great experience for them. But that's what we do every time. You know, we offer people cold beer, Lone Star Light, and give them a sample while they're waiting in line because we appreciate them coming out. You know, they don't have to come and, you know, come get our barbecue, and they do. And that's very, you know, exciting, rewarding, and humbling all at the same time.
So when will your brick and mortar be open? Next year, early next year, or end of this year?
So our goal is January. So that day we got a verbal from the people that we're going to buy it from, and then stuff happened, as you know, real estate.
Yeah.
And kind of stuff got dragged out, and we didn't sign paperwork until first week of September. There's some pre-stuff that needed to be done for permits and all that. So we signed paperwork in the middle of September. So hopefully our contractors submitted all the permits, I believe, yesterday or today. Hopefully we'll get building permits next week so we can start construction. We have to do some renovation to the restrooms, do some renovations to the kitchens, have to build a smokehouse out back. But we really want to keep the building as true to itself as we can.
That's great. That's important, I think, though.
Yeah, like it's, you know, it's actually, I believe, a Grand Prairie historical marker.
Oh.
So. Yeah, yeah. So we want to make sure that we, you know, keep it as true as it can be. Make it, you know, our own funky little place that we like. And we'll starting off. Our goal is January.
January.
This part is December.
Of course.
So I'm saying January. So you know, we're probably going to uncover some big problems, and we're going to start crying. So it'll probably be I don't know, February, March. But our goal is January.
Are you looking at like a Tuesday through Saturday? What kind of, or what do you
think? So again, I'm really fortunate that I have a really great job that I love. I actually really love my job. And this this is something that, you know, we're really passionate about, and something that started off as, you know, we want to pay off our student loans, me and my wife.
Yeah.
And so we want to start off Saturdays only. Again, like I said, we want to make sure this is organic as possible. Mm-hmm. So we have another smoker being built. So we'll have two thousand gallons and 1 500 gallon propane tank smokers. So we'll be able to increase the amount of barbecue that we'll have. Do Saturdays only, and then maybe start off one Friday a week, or excuse me, one Friday a month, just to gauge, how demand it is mm-hmm. for us. And then organically, if the demand's there, for sure, we want to be able to be open Thursday through Saturday. That would be a long-term goal, but we're not going to force it. It's gonna have to happen organically.
That makes sense. No, and it's good to start out slow and do it smart. And you guys have been doing it kind of that way from the beginning. So I think that's a smart way to do it.
Yeah, because, we want to make sure that, once we get the other 1,000 gallon, we have to be consistent. We want to make sure barbecue is going to be the best for every single person that gets it. And for that, let's get that Saturday going good. And then we can throw in a Friday, and then we'll go from there. But on Friday night, since we're already going to be here cooking, we're thinking about doing 44 farm burgers, keep it really simple. Just a cheeseburger with mustard, pickles, and cheese or no cheese, and a bag of chips. Just keep it simple. Let them come in here, get a burger, after a football game or after a basketball game or whatever. So they'll have a place to get some food here in Grand Prairie. It would be really good for the high school games and everything.
That's awesome. Well, so let's go over your menu really quick, because I know that people, and you do make scratch-made tortillas, right?
So we have this little hole in the wall that we buy that are scratch made.
And okay, so you get them from them. Yeah, they're scratch made.
Yeah, yeah, it's this place in Grand Prairie that we actually had an article in Dallas Observer come out a couple of days ago, and the guy was like, "Hey, where do you get those tortillas?" Like, we can't tell you. It was so funny because we did the smoked barbecue fest mm-hmm. About 3 weeks ago, and we went in there. And we're like, "Yeah, we need 100 dozen tortillas," and they're like, "What?" We're like, "Yeah, we need 100."
Like, so, 100 total or 100?
yeah, I know. They literally, they asked Drew 5 times, "Cien? 100? Cien?" We're like, "Yes, 100. And he pays for it. And then after he pays for it, they're like, "100? Are you sure?" We're like, "Yes, 100.
That's funny.
So yeah, everybody loved them there. I think it really helps with our barbecue. Just they're really good. We're really fortunate that we found them. They're great. They're consistent. They're really nice people, and they're from here in Grand Prairie. That's what we love. We
want local, to make sure that yeah. So now, do you
anything we can in Grand Prairie?
Do you guys have white bread as well, or is it just tortillas?
We don't. So we have a lot of people that come in and say, "Can we get a sandwich?" We're like, "We don't have sandwiches. We have tacos." So we kind of do an homage to the Sloppy Joe to Bodacious and Marbley at Jordan and all them. They do a Sloppy Joe. So we're like, you know what? Let's use a tortilla and do a Sloppy Juan. CJ came up with that name.
That's cool.
We do all the little burn-ins that we have from all the meats that we're trimming and throw it in there with some sauce and just throw it in a tortilla. And typically, it's a lot of meat. It's close to a quarter pound of meat that's in that taco. And
that's really cool.
So we have people that are like, "Can I get some extra tortillas?" Like, "Yeah, man, for sure. It is all good."
So on your menu, you have brisket, sausage. So
we have 44 farm brisket when we can get it. But we always have 44 farm beef ribs. We have 44 farm beef cheek. We have turkey, and we have pork ribs. We start off with baby backs. We're doing St. Louis. Drew wants to start playing around with spare ribs, so we'll might start doing some spare ribs. He's working on some different glazes that he wants to throw on there. And then he creates our sausage. We do pizza pepper sausage. And people are like, "Oh, is that like pizza sausage?" We're like, "No, it's actually a funny story." We were, I know Rowan, just passed away. Mm-hmm. He was really, really nice guy. We're out at Bodacious, about 8 months ago, 9 months ago. And we spent, a half day or full day out there, and we got to spend time with Roland, just hearing the history that he has and just his everything. It was just amazing. I was at the end of the conversation, I wanted to cry. I'm like, "Oh my God," I'm like talking to Roland. And one of the funny moments was, he's like, "Yeah, Jordan makes a sausage and he throws that pizza, pepper flake stuff in there, and we're like, pizza pepper flakes? We're like, what are you talking about? And then we realized he was talking about red pepper flakes.
The red chili flakes, yeah, yeah.
Yep. So Drew's like, we need to call it pizza pepper sausage. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So that's how we came up with that name.
And so it's kind of an homage to Roland, too.
Yeah, you know.
That's killer.
And, you know, and like all of them, they're, you know, Scott, when he was there, and Brian, like, their family, like they're great people. Like, I absolutely love those guys.
Yeah, they're some of the best. Some of the best, easily. I cannot wait to visit them and hang out. And I'm hoping to cook for a day. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, sick. if you fly into Dallas, so just hit us up, and we'll probably you know, we can drive you out there. We can do your little road trip.
Oh, that'd be cool. That'd be very cool. Well, I want so then you do you have that sausage? Do you have another sausage, or is it just that sausage right now?
No, so we do that, and sometimes he throws cheddar in there. Sometimes he does hatch green chili. He's just trying to, I don't want to say find himself. He's not finding himself. He's just having a really exciting time to just making new sausage.
Cool.
Like, you know, we see all these other guys, you know, making a whole bunch of different sausages. So we're like, you know what, let's, you know, especially once we get our place, we'll be able to make whatever we want. You know, one thing that we're really looking forward to making is Boudin sausage. Like, we're big fans of Boudin, and there's really not that much.
Not a whole lot, no.
In DFW. So we'd love to be able to have that here. And, you know, it'll be nice to have a couple different links that we'll be able to do.
That's really cool. And so what sides do you have?
So right now we do a potato salad, and we do a hot coleslaw that has cilantro and jalapenos in there. We do that because it's just easier since we're serving out there with cold sides. But once we get our location, I want to bring pots beans back. It's my dad's. It's borracho beans. This is what we grew up with.
So cool.
It's just pinto beans with pico de gallo in there, put a beer in there. We'll throw some ham hogs in there, throw, you know, whatever leftover brisket trimmings that I have that I threw in there. And it's just really good. People love it. It's like a meal in themselves. So we'll definitely have that. And Drew's like looking real forward to do some greens, some grits, macaroni and cheese. You know,
he'll be expanding once you open the brick and mortar. You'll be expanding your sides.
Oh yeah, so, we're like, as anybody knows that does these pop ups or does stuff anywhere, like the biggest pain is using somebody else's kitchen. Like, we're just excited to be able to have all our stuff in one
place.
So
great. That'll be so great.
Like, That's what we're looking forward to, honestly.
That's really cool. Now, do you do any desserts at all?
So, since we're at the Brass Bean, they have desserts, so we let them keep themselves. But Drew loves to bake. I don't know if he wants people to know that, but he does pies. He's been playing around with some banana pudding ice cream. It was actually really good. We do some vanilla wafers on there, so it'll be interesting. Like, he has free range to do whatever he wants, and that's what we're excited about, that we're going to have a kitchen to do whatever size we want, or excuse me, desserts that we want.
That's awesome, too.
I'm a huge banana pudding fan. Like, my favorite banana pudding in the world is Flora's down in Whitney. That's great stuff in the world.
Yeah, I've heard amazing. Really great things.
It's amazing. So we'll see.
That is awesome. Well, Joe, I'm so excited that we finally got to talk. It's been back and forth for a while, but it seems like this is actually a really good time to talk because you're on the edge of something really exciting.
Oh yeah, we're really excited. You know, it's been 3 years in the making, and we're still going. We haven't, you know, got to where we want to be, but you know, we've met some amazing people through our journey. You know, people in the barbecue world, especially in Texas. You know, they're the friendliest people in the world. And, you know, we're really fortunate to be part, you know, or try to, you know, be part of the family. Like, they're amazing people.
Oh, yeah. No, and I feel the same way. They've embraced this guy from Los Angeles, too. So it's wonderful. It really is. And it's neat, too. Like, it's neat to see this is, and I've kind of tracked your progress, and it's neat to see where you are right now. And it seems like you're feeling more and more confident about what the road is in front of you.
It is. Like, you know, some people say I may be conservative, but, you know, I just want to make sure that, you know, we follow the plan and, you know, put markers, put gates that we follow through. And, you know, once we check those off, then we know we can move on to the next one.
Looks like you're doing it. You're awesome. So thank you so much. It was nice to meet your business partner, and I'll hit you up before I head out to Texas. Hopefully it's the end of this month, early November, but it'll be great.
Yeah, we'll be at a Texas Monthly Fest, Barbecue Fest in November. So that's nice. Probably good.
That's probably where I'll see you first, but that's awesome. That's November 4th, I believe, right?
Yeah, November 4th. We'll be helping out some of the guys out there. So, and
nice.
Drink some beer.
Nice. So you're, and then you have your, are you guys cooking tonight for tomorrow? Is that?
Yeah, so we'll start cooking around 5 o'clock tonight. Mm-hmm. And then we have my rib shift guy who comes on about 2. So he usually comes in there, pulls most of the beef is about 80 to 90% done. So he pulls that, and then he'll put the pork ribs and turkey and sausage on. And then he heads out about 8 or 9 in the morning. The Drew gets back there at 8 or 9. Then I take care of the kid with the wife in the morning, and they get back there around 10-ish.
So it's real life, all mixed in with a barbecue. That's awesome. That was nice at the very end. That's great.
Yep. Like, gotta get done with work. Gotta get done with work first. Gotta take care of the family, and get back to doing what we love to do on the weekends.
That's awesome. Well, have a good day tomorrow, and hopefully things will go well. And thank you so much. I really, really appreciate this. I know people have been asking me about you, so it's nice. People will be listening to this for sure and watching it.
Wow, that's really cool. Like, it's cool to hear that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and, yeah, have a great weekend. Thank you so much. I'll shoot you an email if I have any questions.
All right, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe. Take care.